Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Golden Oak Lending, you can take advantage of historically low interest rates. Go to goldenoaklending.com. Do the free mortgage checkup. You want to shorten the term of your loan? You want to take some cash out? Golden Oak Lending can help you, and it's risk-free. They don't charge you for an appraisal unless they close the loan. That's Golden Oak Lending. Their local team is ready to help you. But you got to go to goldenoaklending.com to get the process started. Anna has stepped into the studio. I have two big topics I want to talk to you about today. First of all, happy birthday on the air.
Thank you. My heavy breathing into the mic. I feel like I'm kind of heavy breathing into the mic.
That's normal. That's when you come on. It's something. You're like one of those pugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Happy birthday. You're a pug. So nice.
a very puggy birthday to
you. True love.
Yeah, we used to have a coworker who used to bring her pug into the office.
Yeah.
Super annoying. I'm not a big bring your pet to work guy.
You're not a big bring your pet anywhere guy, as evidenced by your disgust with our dogs this weekend.
Well, we brought our dogs to the beach. It was a hassle. That's how I can best describe it. Just a hassle. They're not... You know, I get it. If it's a wide open beach and there's nobody there, bring your dog. Take it off the leash. Let it run free.
It literally was a wide open beach and hardly anyone there.
Yeah. Then we have a problem, though, because we have the dogs with us. We're in a closed environment, a car. Then we have to go to a restaurant. What did you do? We stopped to eat somewhere. What did you do?
I don't know. What'd I do?
You held a fork in one hand and a dog in the other.
Well, we ate outside. And we have one of our dogs happens to be a little yappy, and she's not yappy if you're holding her.
It's a hassle. It's a hassle.
Yeah, I'm going to tweet a picture of our dogs.
Yeah, it's fine. You go ahead and do that. But happy birthday to you on
Thanks.
The air. That's great. As a kid, you always talked about you never had a birthday party. So I feel an incredible amount of pressure to make it happen for you.
Sorry.
Like, I'm making up for your childhood.
I release you from that pressure.
I don't think you can do that. I don't think that's your role to do that. I just think as your husband, I think I have to make it happen.
Okay.
You know? We got to make it happen. The kids were all excited. Nobody loves a birthday party more than a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. They were ecstatic. The 6-year-old asked her, in Alabama, Adriana, you'll appreciate this. We're in the car. We're headed to the Oregon coast. And the 6-year-old said, Mom, what's the theme of your birthday party this year? I almost died. I was like, I have to have a theme?
Yeah.
Is it unicorns?
Yeah.
What would the theme be?
Well, we decided on hearts. There were a lot of hearts happening.
A lot of hearts.
Yeah.
I have two things I want to talk to you about.
Okay, what?
I want to talk to you about cuffing.
What's cuffing?
Cuffing. Story today.
Not huffing.
Cuffing.
Cuffing.
Yeah. It's when people... pair up, right?
Okay, like in a relationship sense?
Yeah, you send me the story. How can you not know what it is?
I forgot.
You send me a link this morning.
I forgot.
Okay, so this is what happens in my world, okay? Well, it's breakfast, the kids, we did this, I did some work. All of a sudden, I got a text from my wife. It's this story. I'm literally going to pull this up right now. It is a story about how people are pairing up. It's called cuffing. You didn't read that part of it, apparently. But they pair up because...
I missed that was what it was called.
Well, that's in the headline.
I'm sorry.
Cuffing season has begun.
Okay.
And it's a bloodbath.
Okay.
All right. So here's the bottom line. People, because a pandemic's going on, are apparently pairing up early this year. Like, this happens. There's a season for dating. I don't know if Alabama, Adriana, and Judah know this, but... people tend to get in relationships at about September, October, November at a higher rate. And they hold that relationship through the winter into the springtime because that's the time of year where the weather's not as good. It's nice to have somebody to hang out with, somebody to watch Netflix with, somebody to go to a movie with, whatever. This is a pandemic aside. Mm-hmm. Now there's a pandemic going on. Apparently this cuffing, handcuffing, I'm assuming.
Oh, handcuffing.
Is, you know, you're paired up with somebody.
Right.
You're cuffed to somebody.
Oh.
You sent me the story. It's like you're another person right now. So apparently people are cuffing earlier
because
of the pandemic.
Yeah, because you gotta get yours.
You gotta identify your person.
Yeah. And lock them down before the weather begins to turn.
These are dark times. These are dangerous times. Weird
Winter
times.
Is coming.
Weird times. Because you have COVID testing. You have people who want to be near each other and, you know, in close proximity to you. So, and you also have, I think people are dealing with mental health now.
Well,
because of being isolated. I think we've seen that.
Yeah.
So I think people are pairing up. So we're having earlier than usual Chinook salmon cuffing run. Like, it's like the run of the Chinook salmon coming early.
Oh, I didn't understand that reference.
That was a sports thing.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, that makes total sense because you've got to find your person and hopefully, you know, you have to understand what that person's history is, you know, who they've been hanging out with in recent weeks and months, kind of what their attitude is toward all of that, and then, you know, make some decisions before everyone pairs up and you're left out in the cold. It's like musical chairs.
Do you guys know that this is a thing? Like, were you guys aware that your friends, yourselves and your friends, tend to be in relationships over the winter holidays more often than the summer?
Yeah. I feel like I've seen this pattern since like middle school.
So
I'm serious.
Now,
like,
it's true.
Because you don't want to be alone on the holidays. You want to, like, you know, go to the dances and all that with somebody. But I'm happy to say that I'm cuffed for the season. So I don't have to be in the fight. I'm good.
And Judah's cuffed for life.
That's right. I won't go too farther into cuffing. But yeah, absolutely.
Oh. But the idea being...
Judah always had a left field.
The idea... He's a little dicey today.
Is
he said... He said bitch ass on the air
what?
Earlier.
Judah?
Yeah.
Judah. Judah.
I was surprised. Alabama Adriana, were you surprised by that?
Yeah. I was thinking the whole time, like, isn't that okay to say on radio? And so finally he just pulled the plug.
He said it.
Let me.
Wow.
Look, I would have said it earlier, but I had to Google if we could. And once I found out that we could, I felt like it was. I was. It's a direct quote. It wasn't me originally offering it.
Okay, all he was quoting somebody.
Apparently, dating apps are seeing surges in usage. Cuffing season is approaching. 30% increase in messages among dating app users in March. Tinder has more members swiping on right. Conversations are up by 20%. Bumble is 70% increase in video calls. What is going on? Why earlier? I think people are
lonely.
People
They're
are saying
lonely. They don't want to go through fall, you know, and winter alone with the pandemic.
I think it's been a tough summer for the daters.
No, the summer is what's good. Because they can date, they can have their outside dates, and they can...
I think that's why they're cuffing earlier.
No, yeah, definitely.
I think they can't. I think that's the point of the... You send me the story, Anna. You send me this bitch-ass story about cuffing, and now it's like you haven't even read it. Did you read it, or were you just one of those people who linked it and went, oh, this looks cool?
I was skimming it and thought, that looks interesting.
The bottom line is...
By the way, I think the term is swipe right.
What did I say?
Swipe on right.
I don't know.
I don't know, though.
Are you a Tinder expert now?
I'm not a Tinder expert.
Adriana, can you help us with that?
Okay, when I have, you know, seen my friends use Tinder, they only click on the X or the check. They don't mess with the swiping because can get the swiping wrong.
Oh, I see.
No swiping.
That's like hitting the button in a casino that, you know, helps you place the max bets versus pulling the lever.
Slow down.
Pulling that lever is so much more fun, though.
Slow down. Here's the story. The story is there's a pandemic going on. As a result, people have not been able to kind of hook up the way they have. They're lonely, and they're dreading the idea of a winter spent alone. Mm-hmm. They want to be cozy in the wintertime.
And this only applies to like most of the country where the season matters. Like if you're in Southern California.
No, this is a thing. No, it's a thing. You did not read the story. You didn't read the story. I dread, like when I get on Twitter, I'll post my column. I'll say, here's the link. Here's the column I wrote today. 60 seconds later, somebody's like giving me a full analysis. I know they didn't read the column.
Yeah.
Just humor me and wait like 60 seconds, another 60 seconds, and pretend you read it before weighing in.
Okay.
But the story is traditionally people hook up in the summer and then they settle down for the winter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where they live. This is the thing. And then what's happening because of the pandemic is nobody's hooking up because you can't, you have to distance. You can't be hanging out in a club right now. That's, Adriana's not down at the, what is that place called that you were said when the pandemic's over, you're going straight there?
No,
Sticky Floors?
No, no.
That would be Dirty.
Yeah, no, nobody's hanging out at the Dirty.
Is it the Dirty?
Swiping on the right.
It is the Ohio Dirty University. Yeah.
The Dirty is not, you know, it's not open.
Yeah.
So as a result, Anna, as you informed me this morning, and now I'm having to re-inform you, as a result, people are pairing off or cuffing earlier than normal.
I'm so glad we have each other.
There's a panic going on right now.
Yeah.
It's, you know what? Right now, it's a seller's market out there.
Yeah.
If you are looking to hook up, other people are looking to hook up.
So I feel like this is a public service announcement. Yeah.
I just think, look, here's the other thing.
Should write a column on this.
Should be followed by that shooting star.
All right, here's the other
thing.
The
more you know.
Here's a question I want to go around the room with. All right. Do you grab the first available, if you were single, would you grab the first available good option? Or do you wait late in the season and hope for a shining star that fell through the cracks? If you're going to hook up for the winter. What's your strategy here?
You're asking three people that are all paired off.
So what?
Go ahead, Adrian.
What would your strategy be?
I think it has to be somewhere in the middle because you don't want to be desperate and just go for the first like bozo that shows up, right? But then like don't want to wait too long because then, it's just not good pickings at that point.
Judah?
First of all, bozo, an underrated term.
Thank you.
I love it. Second of all, it's hard. I mean, that hypothetical isn't very realistic for me. I wasn't doing the grabbing. I was being grabbed. So, it's easier to be the fish than the fisherman in that analogy.
That's right. Here's what I would do. I would wait. I would be patient.
Slow play.
What I think is going to happen, and this is my prediction, I think there's a bubble being created in this cuffing market. And I think that a lot of these people that are hooking up early are not going to work out. And then there's going to be a sudden rush of available people right around Thanksgiving, maybe the week before. Then you're out there and you're like, all right, the market just came to me.
Yeah, but the good ones would have already been taken.
Nah, I think some of the good ones might have had bad. They might have got desperate and hooked onto each other. Mm. See what I'm doing there?
The part of the article that struck me that I actually remember was the guy who, broke up with the girl that he had met. Like she thought
he was the one.
She thought he was the one. He was going to be her cuff partner through the winter.
This is June.
And he just suddenly broke things off and Venmo'd her $15 for snacks and stuff.
Classy.
And that was how he said goodbye.
That's better than just not calling. She got some snacks out of the deal.
All right. Brutal.
I got another question for you, but I'll share it after the break. Blazers-Lakers game four tonight. Blazers have the home court tonight, even though the game is in the bubble. There's no home court. I'm curious how that would play out over time. Anna, you've been watching those Blazers-Lakers games. You're fascinated by the fan board, the video board in the stands. You have been since the start of the bubble watching that.
I'm highly distracted by it. I have friends who've been featured on it, and they screenshot it, circle themselves. They get very excited when they're featured, and it's like an episode of Black Mirror. It's really weird.
You like it, though. I mean, you think this is a great idea, that the NBA has stumbled onto something nice here?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it's brilliant in a way, in the way that, you know, when the MTV Music Awards started putting people's tweets, if they use the right hashtag for the MTV Music Awards, they would display people's tweets on giant screens adjacent to the stage. Well, what does that do? Of course, it drives viewership, because you'll be watching the awards to see if your tweet made it on national TV. And so from a marketing standpoint, I think it's brilliant, because people are going to be watching to see if they make it.
I have long believed that the leagues knew in their heart of hearts that they did not need fans in the arena. I've said that over the years, that the fans have been deprioritized at stadiums and fans are showing up less. And the emphasis is all towards TV. I mean, this kind of proves it to me. Like, we're actually watching a sports league continue without fans in the stands. And atmosphere-wise, I think we at home, I'm not looking at it going, oh, something's lacking. The players may know it from being inside the building, but I'm not noticing it at home, because I see that sort of background movement on that video board. You're watching the video board.
Yeah, and what I think is funny is when they play the sound effects that normally the crowd would be like, charge, and they still play them. And I'm not sure, I haven't paid close enough attention to know whether they're, you know, mixing in the sound of an audience cheering or not. But I guess if they did, it would be like the laugh track on a sitcom, right?
I don't know. It's okay. I just think over the years that we've got to the point where there are a lot of arenas. I've been in some of them. They're not Portland, not Autzen Stadium, not Reister Stadium, but I've been at road games where there's not very many people in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fascinated by, I'm like, man, no one's here.
Even a playoff game?
Not playoff games,
okay.
But I've been
regular
to,
season
I've
games.
Been to regular season games, and I've been to some college football games over the years. I saw Oregon play at Stanford last season. There was nobody there. There was nobody there. And people at home, if they really studied like social media or the TV broadcast, they might have noticed. But you're so focused on what's going on in the field, I really think you don't. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a great episode for Black Mirror.
I think it's just it's a fascinating social experiment, because I think we're watching history unfold. We're watching how we take in entertainment change dramatically. We're part of the experiment. We're part of the change. And I don't know. I don't know if we'll go back.
I'll go one further. All right. So they're using fake fans. They're not really there. So that's why they're fake. They're real people, but they're not really there.
Yeah.
I noticed at the beginning of the pandemic, when everything was shut down, some of the online wagering sites had go-kart racing or motorsports racing or horse racing.
Yeah.
Where it was all virtual. It was just a random number generator that was creating the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have been in Vegas. One of your favorite games is to play this virtual horse racing game that is a video game.
Yes.
And you love it. You sit there and you bet on the ponies like they're real horses.
I know.
How far away are we from society accepting, hey, there's fake fans? How about watching a video game? Because you see kids that watch video games, right? They watch Minecraft, they watch League of Legends or whatever it is. They're watching someone else play the game.
Yeah.
How much further away are we from going, hey, we could have a couple of sporting events where it's all virtual? That doesn't work, does it?
I don't know that it does. Because in the end, like when you have like the gaming competitions, those are still real humans that are competing against one another. Like those e-game giant competitions.
But, you know, we have relatives who have kids who will go onto YouTube and they'll watch someone else play the video game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's the fun in that? That used to be living hell. I'd go to the arcade, I'd put my quarter on the top of the machine, and I have to stand there watching some bitch-ass play Donkey Kong.
That's the phrase of the day.
To phrase the pace. Watch some guy play Donkey Kong while I'm waiting. That used to suck.
Yeah, I think it is a different mentality now. I think it's relaxing for people. I think they like watching another player who's really good at the game, you know, win things along the way, and it's just different.
You learn how to play, I guess.
I guess.
All right, coming up, I do have a burning question for you. It's on something that our society has done that I don't understand. I'll pose it next. Get the podcast to this radio show, SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get a podcast. Subscribe. Tell a friend. Earlier on the show today, we had Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. He was a great talk about the Blazers and the Ducks. We also, on today's show, talked to Las Vegas Dave, in which was an interesting interview, I think. Dave Wancha sold his Mike Trout baseball card for $4 million, set a record last week. He's known as Las Vegas Dave. He is a polarizing figure. If you missed that interview, grab it. He was on his best behavior. We had people from all over the country tweeting at me and messaging me, telling me that he's a crook and he's an idiot. And he came on and he was on nothing but good behavior. Maybe because he knows it's not that kind of show. I don't know. What we will talk about on this show today, though, is the chicken sandwich. Anna, why did the chicken sandwich rise to prominence in our country? I have to know this. It's the biggest deal.
Because it crossed the road?
What? No, but what happened? Chick-fil-A, Popeyes.
Oh, that kind
that
of chicken sandwich.
Chicken sandwich has just become the thing. And why did that become the thing?
Because didn't at some point everybody decided that red meat will kill you? And so...
That was it.
Right? I mean, no, like at some point somebody said red meat's bad, carcinogens, chicken better, therefore chicken sandwich better.
But do you really think like the nutrition statement on the buttermilk fried chicken sandwich at Popeyes is...
Absolutely not. I think that nutritional value-wise, it's probably about the same, if not worse, in terms of cholesterol, fat, and... All those
but we just feel better.
Feel better about it.
It's really interesting
because you can get grilled, which I guess could be slightly healthier as if it's not layered with like 17 pounds of butter, which it usually is because that's what makes it taste good.
Popeye's chicken sandwich. By the way, they don't list the chicken sandwich on their website, the nutritional information, but here's what it contains. 690 calories, 42 grams of fat, 1,443 milligrams of sodium, 28 grams of protein. That 42 grams of fat is more than double the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich.
Oh, wow.
Sodium, well, though.
There's a reason it tastes so much better.
Same amount of protein
yeah,
in both sandwiches, right. 28 grams, but the and about the same amount of sodium.
Yeah.
Basically, you could just pound a salt shaker.
Yeah.
And eat raw bacon. You'd be okay.
Yeah. Maybe throw in a couple sticks of butter.
You'd be healthier. It has nothing to do with nutrition, really. There's nothing healthy about these sandwiches. So why have they...
Why are you railing on this? Like, I enjoy a good fried chicken sandwich as much as the next person on occasion. It's not like if I ate it every day, there would be a problem.
It's really, it's weird to me that this has become the thing that, I would understand if, like, the Garden Burger was suddenly blowing up, and I'd go, oh, that's America going, you know, we've seen the Morgan Spurlock shows, and we realize we're getting supersized.
Right.
We got to get responsible.
Yeah. And the irony is I watched those documentaries. I watched those ones where he eats like McDonald's for 30 days straight and it's supposed to gross you out. It made me crave a Big Mac.
Not me. But I just don't know what. Why do you guys think, Judah, Alabama, Jonah, why do you think the chicken sandwich became a thing?
Because it's delicious. And
you had one?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had one.
They're not gluten-free, but I do not care. Like, I'm ready to risk it all for that sandwich. And, I mean, yeah, it's just, it's something different. I guess, I feel like they've been, I mean, they have been around, but people are just big corporations, Popeyes, Chick-fil-A. They're, like, monetizing this competition. And then didn't Wendy's try to get in there, too? Or,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Somebody else, you know? Everybody's trying to get their name out there trending on Twitter for their chicken sandwich. I think it was really a money grab. In a way, it was a great marketing move by Popeyes.
Yeah, because I think everybody wants new, right? Everybody wants new. It's a new thing. It's market share. You can do that. I get why. I get that it's tasty. It's not healthy. So I guess I'm just trying to figure out when the country went nuts for chicken.
I think it's been that way for a while. I'm with Adriana. But I think the next big thing that they're going to try to market, which they're already marketing, is the, you know, the vegan options, like the Impossible Burger or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Because they've tried to perfect the vegan meat to the point where, you know.
Beyond Burger.
Yeah, Beyond Burger and Impossible whatever. And they've gotten it to the point where if you close your eyes and squinted, maybe if you did a blind taste test, you wouldn't really be able to tell the difference between that and a normal red meat.
I kind of agree with that. I agree that they have gotten really close. Closer than they ever had before.
Yeah.
I got fooled that day they brought them in. They brought in two. Carl's Jr.'s brought in two Beyond Meat burgers.
Oh.
And Adriana wasn't in yet.
Uh-huh.
And we had a decision to make. Do we gobble these down real quick? It was really a moral problem. It was like a moral dilemma. And I don't have that problem now with the home studio. I would eat them both, you know? Like, but I was like, I got to get the barbecue sauce off my face before Adriana gets here. Problem. Anna, happy birthday to you.
Oh, thanks.
Got to say that before we sign off today. I'll let you finish the show. Come on. You and Adriana said that you guys could host the show. You got 20 seconds. Go.
Oh, goodness. All right. Go out, be happy, be healthy, do something smart.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.